Please turn in the Bible this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 30. That's in the Old Testament of our Bible. And we're looking at this morning about how to respond in hardships of life. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 30. And give you just a moment to get there. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to look beginning in verse 1. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Amen. Or you can look on the screen if you'd like. Verse 1. Now it happened. Some translations say, then it happened. Or it came to pass. I'd like to stop there just for a moment this morning. And let's talk about then it happened. That's the title of the message this morning. Have you ever had a then it happened moment in your life? Or it came to pass, or now it happened? I mean, life was going good. Everything seemed okay. And everything was worked out. And then it happened. Everything fell apart. A crisis hit in life. And then it happened. I was in good health, and then I went to the doctor and I'm sick. I have something severely wrong with me. Or then it happened. Something happened to one of my children. Or then it happened. I may have lost my job. Or my income. A then it happened moment. We call them a life changer. Or a game changer. A crisis hits in life. A then it happened moment. Then it happened time in life. Now there are wrong ways to respond to crisis or then it happened times in our life. Here are some wrong ways, things that we are not to do when it happens. First of all, deny the problem. That's not the right approach to a crisis. Just deny it. If you ignore it, it'll eventually go away, and yet you're in the middle of a crisis, or then it happened, and you certainly cannot ignore it. You need to deal with it. Second way of the wrong way of dealing with a crisis is to evade the problem. You know, to drench the problem with drugs and alcohol or loose relationships or whatever it may be, to escape it for a while through temporary things that will make you feel worse when you wake up or when the temporary fix is up. You'll feel worse. So that's a wrong way of dealing with a crisis or with problems and troubles in life. Another wrong way is to refuse to seek help. You know, handle it myself. I can take care of it myself. And that is a wrong way of dealing with a then it happened or it came to pass time in life. Another wrong way is to blame others for our problems. You know, it was my parents' fault, or it's in my blood, it's in my genes that I act the way I do, and so we blame others, and that is as old as the Garden of Eden when Eve said the serpent, and Adam said Eve did it. And eventually he said, God, you made her, it's actually your fault. So blaming others is a wrong way. Another wrong way is to fail to explore possible solutions. You know, well, that just won't work. Nothing's going to work here. It just will not work, and you fail to explore ways to help you out of the crisis or to help you through a crisis in life. Another wrong way is to make a quick decision. a rash decision. You know, you're confronted with a crisis and you make a decision just like that. And men, we're guilty of that. Mostly men do that. You know, we're quick to give an answer or to fix a problem, and we're rash, and ladies can make the same mistake, but that is something that we are not to do, and that is to make a quick decision. Well, let's see what David does. During this, then now it happened time in his life. Let's see what David does. Let's read on in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And let me get my glasses on. I apologize. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. And I want to share with you just very briefly. King David was out battling the Lord's enemies. He was out battling the enemy, and he comes home to Ziklag, a city that was given to him by a king, a Philistine king. So he comes home and tired and weary, and he's been going out and doing the Lord's work, the Lord's business. And then it happened. Let's read on. That the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Out doing the things he was supposed to do, and then it happened, the Amalekites. Verse 2. And had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Taken captive. Burned the city with fire. And now, all the men's wives and children are taken captive. David's own wives and what children he may have had at that time were taken captive. Then it happened. Maybe this morning, maybe you're taken captive at this time. Or maybe a family member, or maybe your children, or maybe some of your grandchildren have been taken captive by the enemy. And the enemy can take us captive in many ways. Through addictions, through loose living, immorality, or just taken captive of not seeking the Lord and serving Him and just going about their own business in the world, a world business of things, and not seeking after the Lord. And you've been taken captive, or maybe someone close to you have been taken captive by the enemy. David's family had been taken captive, and all the men that were with them, they were taken captive. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were broken. They were weeping. They wept all night because of their loved ones that had been taken captive. You know, we have friends and neighbors in our own community that they are taken captive. They're at the enemy's whim. Whatever the enemy whims them to do, that's what they do. When was the last time you've wept for their salvation? When was the last time you wept and cried out to God for the salvation of your loved one or loved ones that are captive by the enemy? They were weeping. Verse 5, and David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. They were blaming David for this. Every man for his sons and his daughters. You know, there they were. They were grieved so much that they wanted to take this frustration out on somebody else. They were angry over it. Their loved ones were taken captive. So they was going to lash out at the first person that they could get at. And what better person than the leader, David. Lashing out at him. Wanting to stone him to death. But listen what David does at this then it happened moment in his life and in the men's life. He said, the Bible says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord, the covenant name for God, in the Lord his God. But David strengthened himself. Now, how does that apply to you and me? He strengthened himself. How can we apply that? One way that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord is to simply remember. Remember. We're studying through Revelation on Wednesday nights, and we're still going through the seven churches in Asia. And two of those churches, the Lord Jesus, the one who walks among the lampstands and holds the seven stars in his hands, he tells two of those churches to remember. Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, they had lost their first love. And Jesus tells that church to remember, to repent and go back and do the first works. The other church that he tells to remember is the church there that is called, can anyone remember Sardis last Wednesday night? I get Smyrna and Sardis messed up a little bit, but Sardis. You know what he tells Sardis to do? He tells Sardis to remember and to go back to what they have heard and seen. In other words, go back to the Word of God. That's what he tells the church at Sardis. So remember. Remember. Go back and do the first works. You know, sometimes people will tell me, I just don't feel it like I used to. First of all, we're people of faith and not feelings. Our hope is built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, and our faith in Him. Feelings is a part of it, but I just don't feel it anymore. Maybe I need to go do this or go some other place or do this or do that, and I just don't feel it anymore. The question is, what was you doing when you did feel it? Or felt it. Well, I was doing this. I was teaching. I was serving. I was doing this. I was witnessing. And I was doing this and that. And the next question is, are you doing it now? Well, no. And I want to say, next. Next. Go back. Do the first work. Then the other church, Sardis, go back to the things you've had first seen and heard. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to that, remember the first experience of receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. You couldn't read the Bible enough. You couldn't pray enough. You had to witness. You invited the guy from work. You knew he would never come, but he needed Jesus anyway, so you would invite him anyway to come to church. Remember those past times. What could David remember? David there tending his father's sheep, Jesse's sheep. Here comes a bear to grab up the sheep, and he kills the bear. Young boy. Here comes a lion, and he kills the lion. Then he can remember when they needed another king because Saul had disobeyed God. And here comes Samuel, the prophet, to anoint the next king. And Jesse brings all of his fine boys out there, the tall and the strong, and those who would be a good king, the outward appearance of them. And Samuel says, none of these do you have another son. And, well, there's David, the runt. He's out there tending my sheep. Samuel says, go get him. And then he is anointed to be the next king by Samuel, by God. See, he could remember going, giving supplies to his brothers there on the front line, and a giant walks out and curses the God of Israel. And curses God and makes fun of God's people. And he looks around and says, how come you're letting them do this? And as a youth, he goes out with the sling. You know the story. He hits Goliath right on the forehead with a rock, and then takes his own sword, Goliath's sword, and cuts his head off. See, he could remember how God had protected him when Saul was trying to kill him because of jealousy. And he could have killed Saul twice, but he would not touch the Lord's anointed, and yet God protected them and all of that. And David could remember, and you and I, how to apply that. You and I can remember. Remember back how God has delivered you and has helped you and was present with you through the hardships of life. And if you're having a then now moment in life, go back and remember. Our faith is active. Our relationship with Jesus should be very present and daily walk with Him. But the things of the past are building blocks of our faith, because we can go back and say, He was with me then. He's with me now. So to strengthen ourselves in the Lord is, first of all, remember. Also, how can we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the whole armor of God and to stand. Stand fast. Stand therefore with the whole armor of God and pray. So stand in Christ. Be strengthened by Him. Put on His armor with much prayer, and when the Amalekites come or the enemy comes, stand. Stand firm and pray. Pray. Another way we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord is to simply get in His Word. Seek guidance from Him. You see, that's what David does. Look with me in verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? You and I, when we need guidance from the Lord, we pray and we get into God's Word for answers. We seek the Lord. We inquire of the Lord, and He will talk to us through His written Word. He'll guide you. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So to strengthen ourselves, pray, inquire of the Lord through His Word. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Now the rest of the story is this. He pursues with 600 men. Now 200 of them becomes very weary. Look in verse 10 with me. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. He goes with 600. He inquires of the Lord. The Lord says, go. 200 of them could not go any further once they reached the brook. They were so weary, maybe from weeping. They had been battling the Lord's enemies. They had been on a march. So 200 of them could not go any further. But David goes on. Listen, when the crisis hits your family or hits you or someone you love, it may seem no one else is going to stand with you with the Lord. You may be the only one. You may feel, I'm the nagger in my family. I'm always telling them to look to Jesus and they're not doing it. You may feel like you're the only one. But keep standing for the Lord. And keep strengthening yourselves in the Lord. Because we're going to tell you why in just a moment. He pursued on. They find an Egyptian who was very weak, and they give him food, and he was a slave of an Amorite. And this Egyptian tells David and the men where the Amalekites were. He was a slave of an Amalekite. So he goes and pursues, and he finds the Amalekites spread out in a great big valley, and he attacks them, and he slaughters them from dawn till dusk. He destroys the Amalekites. Some of them may have been giants, by the way. They were of the race of giants. And he battles them and slaughters them. And you know what else? Not a one of their wives or children were harmed. He saves them. I like a good end of a story, don't you? I like a good ending. So he gets all this spoil from this battle, everything that they had, plus their wives and their children back. That's a good ending. Good ending. So he goes back. And they meet up with those 200 that stayed behind. And David was going to share the spoils with them and, of course, give their wives and children back to them. The Bible calls them this, wicked and worthless men said no. We went all the way. We earned what we got. They can have their wives and children back, but we're not going to share the blessings of the Lord. God calls them in His Word wicked and worthless men. Worked hard for what they got, and they don't want to share the blessings of the Lord. God gave them the victory. You know what David does? He says no. And it becomes an ordinance in the land that he shares with them the spoils of the battle. Because they were with them. Physically, they could not go. But they were with them. They would have went if they could. How does that apply to you and to I? How can we apply that to our lives? See, those men, those 200 were counting on David and the other men. Counting on them. Did you know there's people counting on you? They're counting on you. Maybe you're a caretaker and you have someone counting on you 24/7. Parents in here, your children count on you. Grandparents, They count on you. Neighbor, you have someone counting on you. You may think no one counts on me. I'm really nothing to anybody. I mean, no one pays attention if I go to church or not. No one pays attention if I stand for Christ or not. No one counts on me. Oh, yes, there are people counting on you. One way or another, there's people counting on you to live a Christian life. There's people counting on you to help them. Maybe all it is a phone call. Maybe all it is to share an encouraging word. Maybe they're counting on you for something much more than that. Physical help in some way. Christian, your church counts on you. We're all gifted by the Holy Spirit. Did y'all know that? We all have spiritual gifts that God has gifted you with. Did y'all know that? And the Lord Jesus counts on you to be His hands and feet to serve Him and to bring Him glory. So if you think no one else counts on you, the Lord does. The Lord counts on you. And those 200 men that could not take another step, they were counting on those other men and on David to go and take the Amalekites and to destroy them and to bring back their loved ones. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. And guess who He uses? Us. He uses us. So then it happened. Moment in life. Application. If you've never had one, you will. And if you're in one now, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Remember where he brought you from to where you are today. Trust in Him. And don't grow weary in well-doing. Your family may be taken captive. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Stand against the enemy through much prayer and getting in the Word and be a witness for Jesus any way you can. Stand for the Lord. Stand against the enemy. Because there's people counting on us. Now this morning, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart and life to save you. I'll be here to help you any way I can. Or you can ask Jesus right where you're at, right this moment, to save you. To forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior. You can make that commitment, that surrender all to follow Him the rest of your life. You can do it right now. If you do, we sure would like to know about it. Because Jesus said that if you'll confess Him before men, He'll confess you before His Father in heaven. So we're going to invite you to respond this morning. To receive Jesus, if you need more help, I'll help you any way I can. Or maybe the Lord is leading you to be a part of this church family. To take a stand here for Christ and to serve Him with your gifts. Because we all got them. Let's quit having a consumer mentality about church membership. But let's actually serve the Lord. Amen. You can do it here. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your precious Word and the encouragement that we have from it. We thank You that You are a loving Savior. And Lord, I know we had a good outcome to this true account. of history. Sometimes things don't turn out all right. Sometimes the thorn in the flesh stays. And Lord, we know that your strength is sufficient. Help us to trust in you, not grow weary in well-doing and serving you, but to be faithful to the end. We ask strength for that. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.